Our prayer today is a poem by James Broughton, Easter Exultet. Shake out your qualms, shape up your dreams, deepen your roots, extend your branches. Trust deep water and head for the open, even if your vision shipwrecks you. Quit your addiction to sneer and complain. Open a lookout. Dance on the brink. Run with your wildfire. You are closer to glory, leaping an abyss, than upholstering a rut. Not dawdling, not doubting. Intrepid all the way, walk toward clarity. At every crossroad, be prepared to bump into wonder. Only love prevails. En route to disaster, insist on canticles. Lift your ineffable out of the mundane. Nothing perishes. Nothing survives. Everything transforms. Honeymoon with big joy. Thus ends our prayer.
Good morning. On this beautiful day, a little warm for a young man like me, used to the cool air of Washington State, but I'm glad to be here. A congregation, in my opinion, is a community of persons intentionally bonding themselves with this living community or any living religious community for the purpose of learning, absorbing, and slowly integrating carefully thought out principles. It does not matter so much the specific type of our principles, whether we are attracted to the flavor and feeling of the Jewish or Christian or humanist or naturalistic type of tradition of principles. What really matters is how true they are to life and how closely we are able to integrate them into our daily living, so that it affects who we are, what we do, what we say, how we interact with others. Part of this process becomes a slow process of becoming aware of the power, the significance, the veracity, the truth of those principles, so that we cling to them as though to life. And we are strongly armed against the endless dissuasions from our principles, greeting us at every turn of our lives. My remarks today are informed and guided by this church's wonderful commitment and dedication to the stated value or principle to, quote, treat ourselves and others with love, unquote, and to pursue the growth that changes our lives and heals our world. What a magnificent, what a wonderful set of values and principles you have chosen as a congregation. To this end, I wish to delve deeper by talking about metta, a Buddhist word often translated as loving kindness, which has parallels in the Jewish and Christian and humanistic traditions, and means, in essence, a special kind of love that knows no bounds, has no barriers, and is without conditions. I focus on metta because it is a particularly well thought out way of examining that love. loving kindness may be thought of as the human intention aligning itself with the physical, biological, emotional, and psychological impulse toward health, wholeness, and well-being that is a part of our very natures. Metta specifically in daily practice is the cultivation of the intent to will someone's well-being, happiness, and peace without limit, without desire, without expectation, or anticipation of anything they might give us in return as a reward. I remember 18 years ago, as though it were yesterday, meeting an elderly monk from Tibet in a city in Florida. He was exiled from his home in Tibet, wandering with his kindred monks in a Volkswagen bus, homeless, just trying to do good and spread their version of the word. He and his fellow monks would create a sand mandala everywhere they went, which is a beautiful symbolic representation of wholeness found across cultures. These monks would lovingly come to a church, build their sand mandala, which was so colorful and beautiful, and then after a week of meticulously doing that, they would take it to the waters of the ocean or a lake or a stream and dissolve it into the waters, symbolizing the impermanence of all living forms. I met one of these monks, I remember it. As he stepped out of his Volkswagen, he knew no English. He was in his monk's robe of red and gold. He clasped my outstretched hands. He took my hand into his big two hands, warmly embraced my outreached hand. In no hurry, steadily and calmly, looking me directly in the eye, as calm in his being as the stillest waters you can imagine, as though greeting me in that moment where was the most important thing in the world. I would never see him again. But that day, I felt his intent of loving kindness. I felt what the poet Rumi was describing or trying to get at, I believe, when he wrote, "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I will meet you there." When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase, each other, doesn't make any sense. And that's what I felt. At that moment, the phrase "each other" no longer made sense. Metta, or loving kindness, starts with ourselves. We must deeply, to do this practice, deeply and consistently and ardently wish for and intend and do all in our powers to bring about our own well-being, happiness, and peace, guarding against anything that would sabotage the preciousness and importance of that intent. Guarding against it and overcoming any doubt. This may seem awkward to many of us. We are familiar, all of us, with valuing ourselves and one another on the values are based on the values of money, power, popularity, or some other convenient notion and conventional notion of value. But valuing ourselves simply because that is the way to be, is somewhat alien to us. Years ago, when the Dalai Lama first came to the West to teach here in the States and in Canada, he met with a group of meditation teachers. And at the end of a brief talk, one of the meditation leaders said, "I need to say something to you." He said, "Okay." And this person said, "If you are going to teach in the West, you must become very familiar with the phenomenon of self-hatred, for you will find it at every turn." Now, there was confusion around this word, self-hatred. It took some time for the translator to understand it, because neither he, the translator, nor the Dalai Lama, nor any in his party had ever heard the phrase before. So loving kindness moves against an army of cultural assumptions about the value of persons. We need to be careful. The Buddha is reputed to have said, "Whatever an enemy might do to an enemy, or a foe to a foe, the ill-directed mind can do to you even worse." My experiences as a therapist and as a minister across the years suggest to me that it is hard for us to imagine love without conditions. We cannot imagine breaking the taboos of our society, which tell us that love can only come from the outside. We do not see ourselves authorized, as it were, to give ourselves loving kindness, to luxuriate in it, to bring it into the very fiber of our being. We cannot imagine a value to ourselves beyond the praise and accolades received externally. Metta is grounded in the decision and commitment to practice loving intent towards ourselves, loved ones, family members, strangers, and then people we do not like, and even our enemies, and finally toward all sentient beings. Everyone craves loving kindness. Everyone, just as we crave and need water. But when we seek it externally and through and with conditions, we are seeking a drink of water by drinking seawater. Seawater is water, but salt makes it undrinkable. All the various forms of love based in conditions and qualifications are like drinking seawater. And just as drinking seawater can lead to our deaths, seeking love externally and with conditions and expectations will eventually lead to a type of death in the form of strife, bitterness, and disappointments of every imaginable type. This is so easy to understand, so easily verified in our daily lives. And therefore, to us hyper-intellectualized group of people and terminally over-educated people, we tend to dismiss it because it is simple. But watch out. Sometimes what is simple is true, and what is complicated is not true. The practice of loving kindness is an act of faith, not necessarily religious faith, but faith in the sense of a kind of basic trust. in that we cannot prove scientifically or by empirical means that meta is the most important thing to life or to nature. For example, one cannot say that loving kindness is the primary aim of nature. One can say that loving kindness is a possibility provided by nature. Indeed, it is predominantly on display in the innate love a mother has for a child and in other ways. It is certainly true, then, that there is something basic in our nature that supports and aids metta. Yesterday was the anniversary of 9/11, and it made me think of this example corroborating the innate capacity for loving kindness. Weeks after September the 11th, 2001, I talked to several people who I knew very well who happened to have been in New York City on 9/11 and for days or weeks afterward. And I heard, to my surprise, a similar theme in all the stories told to me by these people. And that's this: that in the aftermath of 9/11, if you were actually there in New York City, a most extraordinary thing happened. New Yorkers began to treat one another with great gentleness and kindness. People were opening doors for one another. They were being deferential and attempting to help one another, being gracious in direct and subtle ways. And I've spoken to enough people about this and have heard the same thing, that it was a phenomenon as though people were enchanted for anywhere from 5 days to several weeks, lost in the mystical bond of loving kindness. Now, without this biological and natural root, it would be pointless to talk about the development of metta. But we must be cautious because nature gives us many other tendencies. For example, in children, you find a pure, simple love that is so often on display, but sometimes you find other things. A child, age 7, was talking to her parents one day, and she asked out of the blue, "Can I ask you about what might happen after you and mommy die?" Well, thoughts swirled in the minds of both parents as they thought about all kind of wild things their child might say and how they could possibly react. And after a brief hesitation, the father said, "Yes, please go ahead." And there was a brief pause, and then the little girl said, "Will I get the car?" The human personality has many tendencies. Evolution, in its wisdom, ensured that we would have a diverse set of means to cope with life. Metta is one of them. The practice of loving kindness is the attempt to prioritize, develop, and expand and solidify this innate tendency. Now, in conclusion, let me share something with you. Metta may seem like a purely personal matter, but I believe it is of fundamental importance to our communities. Murray Bowen once stated that systems, a family or congregation or whatever, cannot change until relationships change. That is, one can have wonderful hopes and dreams and aspirations, but it all boils down to whether or not relationships can sustain the work of the dream. So I was deeply impressed when I saw that this church had as one of its values to treat ourselves and others with love. I know that if relationships are guided by something even remotely like metta, 25% of the time, it can transform our communities. But let us not fool ourselves. Metta requires effort, attention, and commitment. When the great musician and celloist Pablo Casals was 92 years old, he still practiced 3 hours a day. And when someone asked him why he did this, he said, "Because I am beginning to see some improvement." The same holds true for metta. I wish you peace, a satisfied mind, and all good things. Our words of benediction are from the Dalai Lama, who wrote, "My true religion, my simple faith, is love and compassion. There is no need for complicated philosophy, doctrine, or dogma. Our own heart, our own mind, is the temple. Love for others and respect for their rights and dignity, no matter who or what they are. These are ultimately all we need."
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.